Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what's up, everybody? It's Lee and Keys coming back at you. We had a couple of little technical difficulties, but we're back with our Friday night show. We got a lot to talk about, but just in case people didn't hear before we went off, me and Keys were talking about the pandemic that's going around in our country right now. Basically, we need everybody to take care of themselves, stay at home, minimize, you know, how much you got to go out and about, wash your hands, all that good stuff. But the main thing is take care of yourselves, stay home, and practice social distancing. Our country has been the hardest hit as far as the number of cases, but we haven't had as many deaths as China and Italy to date. So, if you out there, you listening to us, just take care of yourselves, man. It's very important right now. Now, also, I want to send a personal thanks out to all the doctors, the nurses, the first responders, the volunteers, to the people that are doing acts of kindness out of their heart to take care of people that probably couldn't take care of themselves. You know, long distance high five from me and Keys to you all out there. Keep up the good work. And I think the story that touched my heart the most this week was the story that came out about the 40,000 doctors and nurses in the New York area that were retired, that came out of retirement to lend a helping hand to those in need. And that's the type of stuff we need in our country to get through this trying time. We'll be bigger and better on the other side, but we have to work through this to get to the other side. So everybody take care of themselves. What's going on, my man? How you doing tonight, Keys? Yo, Keys. All right, I don't think my man Keys can hear me right now. Keys, can you hear me? But that's okay, you know.
Yo, what up, bro?
Are you there?
I was having problems like trying to get back connected to the Bluetooth because I'm just trying to connect back to Bluetooth on my phone, but it was giving me a problem right there. But can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you loud and clear, bro.
All right, sorry about that. I was just touching on that early on, and as you just kind of followed up with, it's a tough time right now. It's there's really nobody out there. I was I took a walk today because I've been kind of more or less, and I stay in the house in the past like almost week now, and you just gotta get out there. You just gotta stay like. You can keep your distance from people, but, you know, still manage to stay healthy, like, mentally, too. Got to get out of the house a little bit. So, you know, everything within the, you know, the proper, you know, everything within the proper distance, I think, you know, we'll be okay. But there's a lot of recklessness out there right now as well. So maybe if we could find, like, the common ground there, then, I think we'll be all right, but. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you with the recklessness. Just looking at the videos of the kids down at spring break on the beach, you know, acting like everything is good when it ain't. But, you know, man, one thing we can do, man, is, you know, like I said earlier, just take care of yourself, do what you're supposed to be doing, limit your going out. You know, when you're out, do what you got to do and get back in. I know, like, for me, the last couple of days has just been, you know, I've been working from home for, like, 2 weeks, but I have to go in the office, like, one day a week. Of course, I got a little bit of cabin fever, even though I really don't do a lot anyway. But it's just the fact of now that you are basically forced to stay in because my state is one of the states now that basically is on lockdown. So, you know, man, But, you know, you got to take this time and make the best of it. I think, like, tonight at my house, we're having, like, game night. As soon as our show is over, we're having game night tonight. You know, we've been watching a lot of movies together. You know, my grandkids, they come over on Saturday. So last Saturday, they stayed the night over. You know, so, you know, we've been doing a lot of family stuff. And I think this is the time that, you know, if you really haven't been around your family, you know, everybody is going through the rigors of life, this is the time to sit down and reconnect and, you know, enjoy a little bit of family time. I don't know whether my man Key is there or not. Maybe he's still having a problem with his Bluetooth. But we got a lot to talk about tonight, y'all. You know, we're going to lift your spirits up tonight. You know, I know we're going through some trying times right now. But we're going to lift your spirits up tonight. You know, we're going to talk about John Jones' recent troubles. Me as a big fan of John, you know, I got some things on my mind and on my chest I got to get off. There was a lot of people on social media asking, should he be stripped of his belt? You know, I think that's a touchy subject. But you know, we'll talk about the pros and cons of him being stripped, or if he should be stripped. Khabib flew back to Russia, and then Russia actually came out today and said they will not allow anybody to fly out of the country. So what does that mean for the Tony fight? Kind of shocked that Khabib did that, but at the same time is we're living in times now where people want to be with their loved ones, close to their family. We're going to touch on upcoming UFC events, you know, what should happen. You know, I think it came out recently that some of the events have been postponed, you know, not canceled, but just postponed. And then my man Keys came out last week with an interesting concept that maybe the UFC should come up with one supercard to make up for these postponements and cancellations. And we're going to jump into that also because last week when he brought it up, I kind of was against it. But with everything that's going on, you know, maybe his suggestion is right on point. But, you know, we'll touch base on all of that. But until my man Keys can get back on, I am going to jump into, you know, Khabib flew back to Russia. That is a major story right now because with him training in the States, there was the possibility that the him and Tony fight could actually happen, you know. But with him going back to Russia, and Russia imposing a no-fly law, this actually puts this fight in serious jeopardy. Although with what's going on in the world, you know, maybe the fight shouldn't happen, maybe it should, but I think I'm in the majority when I say this, that if the fight doesn't happen now, then it won't happen to the third quarter or the fourth quarter. Because with Ramadan coming up and what's going on in the world, you could basically say that this fight is not going to happen to the fourth quarter. In a way, it could be bad because, you know, you risk the chance of injury. Anything can happen between now and the fourth quarter. But in a way, it could be good because are the fighters' minds really on the fight right now? What's going on in the world? You know, are they really having good camps? You know, it's a lot of stuff that we have to take into consideration. I know as a UFC fan and a fight fan, I want to see this fight possibly as soon as possible because it is the most cursed fight in UFC history. So, it's just a tough call. I know that for the sake of what me and Keys do on this show, we talk UFC. And basically, as fighters of the UFC. I can hear you now.
All right. Cool. Sorry about that. Keep going.
But as fight fans of the UFC, of course we want to see this fight. But as human beings, we also want to make sure the fighters are safe, the production crew is safe, you know, the referees are safe, you know, the other fighters on the card are safe, and that they're being taken care of. So it's kind of a hard balancing act right now because, in a way, your fandom is you always going to be a fan of the sport. But as a human, I think the human side is outweighing the fan side as of right now. So, Keys, when you heard that Khabib flew back to Russia today, what was the first thing you thought about, bro?
The first thing I thought about was I thought maybe he was going to – like I thought before they issued the nobody going in or out of Russia, I didn't know actually if that was I didn't see that from really any credible source at first, so I didn't know if that was like official news about them kind of closing off Russia. Nobody can get in or out. I really didn't know. I didn't buy into it right away, but once I really thought about it, I figured, it almost seemed like they could have went back to Russia in the first place if they wanted to have the fight out there. That was like one of my initial thoughts when I read it. Besides that, was that thinking that maybe they were just going to go host it out there because I don't know if they, it started to seem like, okay, maybe they were really on the fence about it and maybe Khabib was thinking the fight's not going to happen, so I'll just travel back. But then maybe at the last second, things changed. I don't know how that happened in terms of the order of events with that. But, it seems unlikely now because probably, Ferguson's camp isn't going to want to leave the country, and then, they wouldn't even be able to enter anyways, so it kind of wouldn't be worth it. They wouldn't be able to get there, and I don't think Khabib will be able to make it over the border into the United States at this time if he wanted to come here for the fight. I don't know how they would step over that boundary with that or how that would pan out, but maybe that might be something we'll be looking at. That might be something that might be coming out in the near future.
Yeah, I think it's something we definitely got to keep our eye out on. But if you was to ask me right now, I think the fight doesn't happen, bro. I think with Khabib leaving this far in the game, and then he put some tweets out the other day about whether or not I saw the tweet, but I can't recall exactly what he said. But it did kind of sort of put some doubt out there that the fight wasn't going to happen. So, man, it's kind of tough because, I miss live sports. And me personally, I feel like this is the time that the UFC could fill the void of us not having live sports because they have a lot of options. As far as they can use the Performance Center, they do Apex Center. There's nothing that says they have to have fights in front of audiences. You could basically have the TV crowd be your audience because as much as the Brazil card was kind of weird, it still was a fight. I mean, even though you didn't have crowd participation and all that good stuff, it still was the essence of combat sports. You had two guys, one in the red corner, one in the blue corner, with a ref, with their coaches, going at it. Outside of not having a crowd, it was still a fight. So, but I think Dana White is catching so much heat right now about putting on fights and stuff that maybe, the heat might be catching up to him. But as long as, everybody has been tested and the production crew has been tested and everybody is healthy, I really want to see the fight.
Yeah, I feel like there's ways. No, go ahead. I don't mean to cut you off.
No, I was just going to say in a way that might be selfish on my part, but at the same time, as long as everybody is healthy going into it, then I think they'll be healthy coming out of it.
Yeah, and that's what I just wanted to add to that. Like I said, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just wanted to add to that point was I think that I kind of agree in the sense of I think there is ways that the fight could happen and the whole, you know, production could be done with certain precautions and certain, you know, kind of variables would have to, like, be subtracted from the equation, how they would have to kind of, like, move, kind of make things safe and make things, you know, like you said, so everybody, you know, goes in healthy and comes out healthy. I think there's a way that it could be done. Or they could have the whole event and the fights could go on with, like, you know, I was even talking to a friend earlier and I was trying to figure out ways that they could have only 10 people and have the fight still go on. I was trying to think of, okay, you have a referee, you have somebody announce the fight, you know, a couple people from each guy's camp. You figure Dana White's probably there. You know, just kind of fit like 10 people into a room because I know at least in the U.S. they're saying no more than like 10, you know, groups of 10 people be like in the same space. I don't know if that would apply to wherever they were thinking of, you know, putting the fight on, because I was thinking if it were to happen to be somewhere out of the country. But at this point with the travel, it's hard to see that.
It's
looking likely that it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just piggybacking on what you said with the travel situation right now. It's definitely going to make it hard to put on these fights, man, because the fighters aren't located basically here in the States. Man, traveling into the United States right now is tough, and some of these other countries, traveling out of them and traveling into them is tough. So I'm with you, bro. It's like right now, man, it's just tough. It's just real, real tough.
So, I mean, the way it's looking right now, with everything considered, it's looking like the fight really might not happen. And I really dislike even saying that, because this is probably like the fifth time that, for like one reason or another, that fight like didn't happen. I mean, at least with this, we have a couple weeks in advance. So if it were to not happen, it's not as maybe as big of a letdown. Because, and it does sound selfish. I mean, I'm not saying that you sound selfish, but I think I've even considered myself to sound selfish when I say that I really want to see the fight happen some way, somehow. But at the same time, I understand that it's just, you know, it's just more or less too difficult to kind of get fighters from A to B and the whole, like, for the whole production to happen and everybody to get in the same place. There's like a lot of roadblocks, you know, in between all that travel right now, because things are so, you know, ships are being run pretty tight. Things are pretty strict. So kind of hard, you know, for everything to be able to be set in place the way they wanted to happen, especially at the level they wanted to happen. Because I'm pretty sure they're considering like moving fighters from, you know, main events of like other cards that got canceled to try and like combine them into that event. So that even, you know, changes a lot of the, you know, what the travel might have looked like, considering fighters thought they were going like, you know, to this location for like a fight night event. So they were going to make an event. So now you're moving over to, I mean, of course, they can't do New York at this point, but moving over to wherever they may have held the event, if it were like a, you know, one of these non-disclosed location, and like have like a small room event. However, they're going to do it just to get all the fighters from the that were scheduled for different cards to get to that location might have changed a lot too. It's looking like it's not going to happen, unfortunately. And like you were saying earlier, probably not until at least third quarter, probably fourth quarter. Probably wouldn't see that fight. Possibly not even this year. Because now that I really think of it, they've tried to make it to New York multiple times, and for the Madison Square Garden card too. And usually things don't pan out. I mean, Khabib did fight in September versus Poirier, unless that was late September, early October. So if they can get it done then, maybe it happens before the year's out. But like you said, definitely not during the summer. So who knows at this point.
Yeah, man, the crazy part is, you know, just outside of what me and what we're talking about right now is, you know, there are no live sports. I don't know whether or not you've seen the ESPN-USC fight night thing they are doing Saturday, where they're showing replays of three fights. They're showing Joanna versus Wiley, they're showing Ferguson versus Cowboy, and they're showing Khabib versus Poirier. I was all in on the Wiley versus Joanna fight because I could watch that fight again. But the other two fights, I was like, y'all couldn't find two better fights outside of those to show. Just two fights that come up out of my mind are you could show John Jones versus Thiago Santos, and you probably could show, let me see. What was a good fight that went five rounds or went the distance? You probably even can show the recent Paul Felder versus Dan Hooker fight.
Actually, I wouldn't mind that because I never saw that one. I missed the Felder-Hooker fight, so I really wouldn't mind it if they would have played that one back.
Yeah, it's just the fact that the fight they chose, I was like, man, really? Poirier versus Khabib? Poirier was... I mean, he had a moment in the fight, but basically he was dominated that whole fight. And then the Ferguson-Cowboy fight, that fight was stopped, like, the second round, the third round?
So I have a good question kind of, like, off of, like, the last, like, five things you just said. But that point right there is to who do you think – out of all the opponents, and this is not like it's kind of indirectly related to what you're talking about, but out of all of Khabib's opponents, say we might not see him fight for a while, but not including this next fight, but everyone he's already fought, who do you think is giving Khabib the hardest time out of all his opponents?
Michael Johnson that gave him a good fight? I think it was Michael Johnson. And you catch it. I would go with those two fights. Michael Johnson?
I think Michael Johnson did well early on, and then I didn't see that one live, but I got to watch like part of it back. He kind of got dominated later in the fight, but he had success, and then Kenta had moments too, for sure.
I think if I had to pick, I would probably say Kenta. Because Iaquinta at least, I think Michael Johnson won a round against Khabib, if not two rounds against Khabib. But I would go with Iaquinta because he wasn't slated to fight him, and he put on a good showing. So I would go with Iaquinta over Michael Johnson. I would say Iaquinta was probably his toughest opponent to date. I think a lot of people would probably say Conor. But if you really look at the Conor fight, Conor did have some rust. And we all know that if Conor didn't work on his ground game coming into that fight, he was going to lose. And then he also said after the fight that he was injured. But I think it was more of his mental state going into the fight, not that he was injured. But at the same time is until Conor can work on his ground game, guys that can wrestle will always give him a problem. So with that being said, I think Iaquinta gave him the toughest matchup because Iaquinta at least tried to get back to his feet. He had some quality scrambling, and when they were on their feet, he backed Khabib up, made Khabib think. So I'll go Iaquinta giving him his toughest fight to date.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's definitely fair. I mean, that's probably like the first one that would come to mind for me as well. I had to think about who made Khabib look like the most off, that kind of threw him off his game the most. I'd say Iaquinta. I mean, at least in recent memory. One thing that I've been seeing a lot lately is, and you know, this question, and probably you know, this group of questions right here probably be like all theoreticals because at this point, I'm asking what if at the event, and we probably won't even see the event. I don't know if they'll just like scrap 249 and, 249. I don't know if they'll just scrap 249 and go to 250, or they'll push 249 back and then do. I think they were planning for June. I think UFC 250 is in June, so I don't know what will happen if it'll scrap the whole event or make it happen in the U.S. somehow without Khabib in the headliner. I suppose if the UFC wanted to do that, they could probably hold it somewhere in one of their training facilities in the country.
I think it goes, well, you know, we're going to talk about this later, but we can talk about it now. I think it goes back to what you brought up on last week's show. I think with all these events being scrapped, I think the UFC probably is going to do what you suggested. I think they're going to take some of the better fights off of the postponed and canceled cards and put them on the first pay-per-view that they can have once this is all over. I think they're going to lose the Khabib-Ferguson fight, so we might have the Rosenstrike and Ngannou fight headline a card. Then you'll probably have whoever's going to headline the Portland card probably be the co-main event. And then, you know, depending on, you know, how they stack and rack them and which fighters are in shape and ready to go, I think you might more than likely have what you suggested, probably have a semi-super card just to make up for, you know, the postponements and the cancellations.
Yeah, I mean, because when I did bring it up, I think it was on last week's show, you were a little bit skeptical about if they would do something like that. And I think we both have said before that a lot of times when you, if you were talking about a theoretical card, that if they were to make out of all like the recent main events that have been canceled, something like that, and try to build up, you know, all the good fights onto the next card when they're back on air. I think cards like that a lot of times end up, they don't live up to the hype because they stack it with too many like almost big fights that it's the card just turns into a lot of hype. So if they were to stack all the main events as of recent, the card would be, you'd have like a 7-8 fight like stacked card. It would seem like one like extended main event, and you would just have, you know, because there's a lot of good fights in the past, and you know, that were supposed to happen. It'd be an unbelievable card, but it could turn into one of those that would have a lot of hype and then doesn't deliver once the, you know, the day comes.
Yeah, because I think my suggestion was they could do a two-night event where they could have a big card on a Friday night and then another big card on Saturday to make up for the cards. I think maybe the WWE was listening to me when I said that because they decided to make WrestleMania a two-day event where they're going to have half of the card on Saturday and half of the card on Sunday. So I do think people be listening to our show and running with our ideas, but instead of UFC running with it, WWE ran with it. But that's okay. You know, I'm not here to take any praise for that, but, you know, it is what it is.
That's absolutely true. I had to just cut in right here for a second to say that's absolutely true because a lot of times, well, most of the time, honestly, most of the time, the things that we have said on the show end up panning out not far on into the future, in the near future. We tend to predict things and then or talk about what a possible trend could be and then it ends up playing out in some way or another in the near future. So I get what you're saying about, you know, we may have to take some amount of credit for that.
Yeah, you know, man, but, you know, we're here for the people. You know, we ain't here to accept any praise. You know, we make our voice our opinions and give our suggestions, you know. But it seems like a few of our suggestions have been taken to heart and we have seen come into play. But, you know, you know, it is what it is. You know,
that's just like how we were saying about how, remember we were talking about the structure of the Fight Night card, and this was a good amount of time ago. We were talking about how they should kind of spread out like ranked guys and have like maybe like a top five fight, like a top 15 guy. Or a top like 10 to 15 guy. Like we were talking about those kinds of events and the type of like featured fights that should be on Fight Night cards. And then it seems like they kind of started to adopt that the ideas that we had talked about.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, in a way, it's kind of, I ain't gonna say it's kind of, it's flattering because, you know, it lends credence to our show that we do know what we're talking about, that we do come up with some quality suggestions, and you know, we are credible in this combat sports world. You know, we might not be a well known show, but somebody is listening to our show because they're running with a lot of our ideas. So, you know, it is what it is. And I think your idea of them having a super card, I think that's going to be the next thing that we hear next. I think once the UFC is, and once the sports world is open back up, you have Dana White announcing that they're going to have a major, major card to introduce the world back to UFC.
And you know what's the craziest thing about it is, and, you know, I think we may have criticized the fact that this fight is happening, but one that I think that will end up combining with, well, actually a few of the fights that will end up combining with this super card, which actually would make it a pretty, you know, these fights would step, you know, the level up with that card a couple notches each time. You probably have, you know, the big card they plan to happen in Brazil in June, where you have they're supposed to have Amanda Nunes, who's going to fight. They're going to have the featherweight title fight, so she's going to defend her featherweight title, I want to say, against the girl that just beat Megan Anderson. I can't think of her name off the top of my head. Yeah, so I think they're having there's rumors they're having that fight, and then they were going to have the Cejudo and Jose Aldo fight for the bantamweight title, which I think a lot of us have questioned the fact that it was there. But anywho, yeah, those two probably right there, I bet they would try to mesh in with this card because that was supposed to be the event after this one. So that would be next in line anyways. Well, I think it was June or – yeah, May, June. Yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe late. I'm not sure if that was the next one. Yeah, I think 250. I think that was the one. It's supposed to be in Brazil. So I'll try to mess that with some of these fights that just got canceled.
Yeah, man. But, you know, I just think everybody just got to be patient. You know, remain patient with the sports world. Everything will get back to normal. It might take a little longer than we all originally thought it would, but we just have to be patient. Well, let's get to it, man. The big news of the day, man. John Jones got arrested last night for DWI, misuse of a firearm. You know, that was the news that hit Twitter today. A lot of people had their opinions. I really didn't voice mine too much because I was saving it for tonight. But I'm going to go ahead and pass over to my man, Keys. When you heard the news, man, outside of disappointment, what was your biggest feeling, and what was your first thought?
My first thought, honestly, was I was like, damn. You know what I mean? I was like, really, like, my thought was, man, I feel like we just got on. John Jones just went on a good streak, a very solid length of time, with little to no, you know, waves. I don't think there was anything that went wrong for a long stretch of time there. We got a couple John Jones title fights. We got a good little streak of fights right there with little to no issues, you know, with him in the real world, outside of the octagon. But seeing that was disappointing. It was, I still haven't read into the details of the report. I know they said he apparently had a bottle of Jorge Masvidal's Mezcal, his own branded Mezcal that he made. They said John Jones had a bottle of that in the car. This man was drinking the Mezcal. I can't. And you know what, Keys, y'all, I bet y'all don't know this. Keys is a big fan of Mezcal. Big fan of Mezcal, so that I'm not gonna piss an auto for that. you know, I'm a big fan of the Mezcal. I know a lot about it, so big fan of Mezcal. I don't know about Masvidal's brand of Mezcal, but John Jones apparently it's got to be pretty good. So, I mean, it's cool. It's just interesting. I still got to read more details into that story. I don't have the full gist of what happened.
I think for me, man, I'm very, very disappointed. But at the same time, it's like I told you before, when he's not...
And I have a question for you. I have a question for you as well. Before I forget. And I don't know if it would be more proper for me to ask the question and then you go into what you would get into or vice versa. But this was another one of my immediate thoughts is, and it's not a great one. It's kind of like, you know, it proposes kind of like a, it kind of paints a bad picture of how things could pan out. But I was talking to one of my fans about how long the suspension might be because I was talking, and people on Facebook were talking, you know, I'm in a group with like, you know, probably over 40,000 like UFC fans and MMA fans, but we were kind of talking and, you know, somebody was talking about this and there, and we were talking and that, you know, the comments of that post and a lot of people were just saying that, I just like lost my train of thought on that. Yeah. Now I keep going. I'm going to jump back in.
Well, you know, when I first heard the news, I was very disappointed, you know, being a big John Jones fan. But it's like I have told you on many times, man, he gets in trouble when he has time on his hands. And right now, what do all of us have on our hands? We all have time on our hands right now. And when he's not training, basically you got to cross your fingers that nothing happens, that he stays out of trouble. And when that thing came across this morning, the first thing I could think of was he has nothing to do. He has nothing to do. He has nothing to preoccupy his time. But during this time in our country, why aren't you home? Everybody should be home. You should be home taking care of yourself and your family. But you know, man, I'm at the point now where, you know, I am a fan. I will probably always be a fan. I'm not advocating for him to be stripped of the belt because the UFC has never really stripped anybody of anything that has got in trouble outside of the octagon. Case Beard, Conor was a champ when he threw the dolly into the bus. Nothing happened to him. I think Khabib was a champ there. Yeah, Khabib was a champ.
But actually though, I'm not sure because because now that I'm thinking about it, when he threw the dolly, was that at the Khabib Iaquinta? That was before the Khabib Iaquinta fight, wasn't it? That was at the Staples Center, wasn't that? Where that whole incident happened, so then that would mean...
I think you are actually right because I'm actually looking it up right now.
So, I mean, technically you could say Conor was a champ, but Khabib and Iaquinta were fighting for, like, the title, so Conor wasn't really... I guess they were kind of fighting for his belt. I mean, he wasn't in the fight, but it's almost like they fought for the vacant belt, but they didn't call it. It was almost like he was the last champ, but didn't technically have the belt because the belt was on the line and he wasn't part of it. I don't know.
I thought that was in Brooklyn, though. Because remember, I kept telling you, that was in Brooklyn. God kept saying, Keys, you got to go to that, man. That's close to you. Because that was when Rose beat, Joanna.
Yeah,
But I still think Conor was the champ because No, he wasn't. Ferguson was the champ because Ferguson was the interim champ at the time, and then they stripped Conor of the belt right before this fight so that Khabib and Tony will fight for the real belt. But he was kind of the champ, but Tony was the champ going into the fight. But that's neither here nor there. I think I tweeted this out earlier, and I think you liked it. Until the UFC comes out with a wellness policy for their fighters that lays out guidelines of what they would tolerate and won't tolerate outside the octagon, I think, really, what can they really do to John? I mean, if they really strip him, they only be stripping him because of public outcry or, you know, or his legal situation renders him not to be able to fight. But, hell, we done seen some champions not fight for a year. So, I think me being a Jones fan, would I be mad if the UFC stripped him of the belt? No. Would I understand it? Yes. Do I think he deserves to be stripped? No, because the legal process hasn't ran its course yet. But do I think he needs help? I think he needs help outside of this world. And if he comes out with any post that says, God will guide me through this, I think I will blast him on Twitter because that's his MO every time he gets into trouble. And first of all, if you was listening to God, you wouldn't have been out drinking and driving. You wouldn't have been out with a firearm in your car. So if he comes out and says anything to that effect, I think I would take my gloves off and blast him on Twitter probably for the first time ever. And I think I would be well within my right to do that. Because every time he gets in trouble, he comes out with the same line. And basically, the first time was cool. The second time was okay. But this time, nah, bro. I can't give you a pass.
Wow. Yeah, you feel pretty strongly about that.
Yeah, actually, man. It's just time, man. It's just time that us as John Jones fans that we own up to the fact that he just doesn't know how to handle free time. And every time he has time on his hands, he gets in trouble. It's just sad, man.
And I think one thing that I wonder this time is, what do you think DC is thinking about all this? You think he'll say something about it at his Stipe fight? Think he would have beat Stipe? You think he said something about John Jones in the heat of the situation, try to get that last fight in the octagon?
I think DC is at a point now where he's over the John Jones stuff. Because technically, we all know he can't beat him. So, only thing he could do now is basically throw salt on the wound. So, and if he does say anything, it kind of makes him look kind of bad to me. Because y'all don't have a fight coming up. You know, you said you would never fight him again. You said you was over everything that was John Jones. So, why would he bring that up? Only reason he would bring that up is to throw salt on the wound. And I think for a guy like DC, I think that would be kind of beneath him. But at the same time, the Stipe fight is quote-unquote his last fight. So, hell, you might as well go out with a blaze of glory if you ask me. So, what do you think the UFC gonna do, Keys? What you think they gonna do with John, man? You think they gonna strip him? You think they're
I was actually thinking that. I mean, my first thought was, okay, he's technically a second time offender, right? With the whole driving under the influence thing.
Yeah, he had the other incident with the lady. I think it was a pregnant lady in the car that he had a hit and run. And then this one, you know, he had the DWI. So, yeah, man, this is second offense, dog. And then we're not going to talk about the cocaine bench, the run-in with USADA. So if you really look at it, man, he's actually been a habitual fuck-up.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of it just seemed like there's always some kind of situation, you know, there's always some kind of situation happening with John Jones. So it's kind of like, I think a lot of people are kind of used to seeing it. You see his name in the headline, something is happening. I don't know if he's just like a wrong place at the wrong time kind of guy or what, but no, I'm interested to see if, you know, I'm interested to see if Dana White, you know, how Dana White will respond to the situation, you know, especially with the timing of, you know, the UFC. Dana White's really pushing. He really wants to have, you know, could be Ferguson if it happened, but like we said earlier, it might not be possible at this point. I just wonder how he might react to the Jones situation while he's already dealing with, you know, the whole virus situation and a lot of the events getting canceled and him trying to, you know, scramble last minute. I just wonder how he'll react to that. And, you know, I was thinking about when they had Nick Diaz got suspended. I think it was 5 years. Because I think he was a three-time. He had been, you know, suspended three times. So a three-time offender for, I think, just marijuana, you know, testing positive for marijuana, which I still think it's kind of a bogus, it's kind of bogus that they do those kinds of tests and that marijuana would be considered like aiding, you know, a fighter's performance or something like that. Cause that's the gist. I mean, it's a banned substance. So I'm thinking, I don't know if they don't want, if they, you know, fighters technically aren't supposed to smoke marijuana or they can get, you know, still temporarily banned for smoking marijuana is because UFC that just doesn't think it's healthy for the fighters, or if they feel like it boosts their like attention or something like that. And this, I don't know how they're looking at it, you know, in terms of it being a banned substance. But anyways, just looking at that, you know, Nick Diaz had a, you know, I think a 5-year suspension, and I was thinking about the possibility of that for Jones. And even though I kind of hate to say it, is I was kind of thinking about that possibility for Jones, where he's a 2-time offender and has all these like other situations under his belt as well. I just don't know how the UFC will look at it. I mean, he might get his license. You know, people were talking about him getting his license, his actual driver's license suspended, but, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean he wouldn't be able to fight. But I just don't know how – I wonder how the UFC is going to respond to it when there's some kind of development in the situation. If he has to go to court or what, you know, what kind of statement they make, if we get the order there, if he'll have to go to court. Or, you know, in the whole in the near future. So,
yeah, but I think the UFC has to be careful, though. The UFC has to be careful if they decide to punish him, because you don't want to look like you have a double standard when it comes to punishment. Because a lot of people will point out a lot of things that have happened in the past where guys and girls weren't punished. And if they go about punishing him, they have to be very particular in their explanation of why. Because a lot of people will be like, looking at it, hey, y'all, is this a double standard? Why didn't y'all do this to this person? Why is he getting suspended when this person did this? So, you know, because actually, crazy part is, I don't know whether or not you saw my Twitter today, but did you see the video of Mike Perry sucker punching this guy on the street the other day? I don't know when it was, but the video hit today on Twitter. I think if the UFC gets in the business of punishing fighters, outside of with incidents that happen outside of the octagon, that they might run into what Roger Goodell runs into with the NFL. A lot of people feel that Roger Goodell always rules with a heavy hand, and some of the punishments that he dealt out aren't conducive to the action that took place. And I just don't want the UFC fall into that category, whereas we're looking at the punishment and questioning, wow, that was a little steep for this. You know, can we let the legal system run its course? Things like that. They have to be really, really careful if they're going to start delving out punishment to fighters. Although right now, you know, being a Jones fan, like I said the keys earlier, would I be mad if they stripped him? No. Do I think he should be stripped? No. Would I understand? Yes. But, you know, on social media today, a lot of people already got interim fights set up for the light heavyweight belt. A lot of people
and man,
saying,
that, you know what? You know what? That would just be pathetic, too. No, I'm glad you brought that up, because that would just be pathetic. I was thinking about this earlier today, and, you know, I was talking about that fan page on Facebook was like, you know, 40,000, like, MMA fans. A lot of people talk about UFC, and somebody was talking about they should make Reyes versus Santos for the vacant belt or for an interim belt. And I just felt like that was so pathetic. So when I thought about it, I was like, wow. So basically, if Jones were to be suspended or temporarily not active in the division for one reason or another, you would basically have the loser's bracket. You would basically have the loser's bracket fight with Santos and Reyes, which is just kind of sad to me. And, and when I was thinking about it in the car, it was just, that was just sad to me. And I just felt bad. I was like, man, what? We're going to be left with this. We got the loser's bracket match. It's going to happen for the vacant belt. And then you're going to have the rest of the division, which was already kind of suspect as of late anyways. And then Anthony Smith is fighting Glover Teixeira for we really don't know what reason, because I'm kind of surprised. You know, Glover Teixeira probably took too many punches at this point. I'm not even really interested in that fight. But you kind of just have like a sad division left over, man. It's kind of laughable, and that thought came to mind to me today as well.
Well, I was laughing because it was funny how, you know, Santos is the one that tweeted it out saying, you know, we should go ahead and the UFC should go ahead and strip him of the belt and have me and Reyes fight for the belt. I'm saying, like, both of y'all lost to him. So what satisfaction would y'all really have at winning? Okay, the winner, if whoever wins, what kind of satisfaction would you really have? Everybody that watches the UFC will know who the real champ is, and they will always know that both of y'all lost to him. So,
and that's basically the situation we actually just saw. We actually just kind of saw that scenario when Jones had knocked out DC in their second fight, and then, you know, that situation came back where one Jones' test came back positive after the fight, so then it got turned to no contest, and you basically had DC. Actually, I saw it in Boston, and it was actually kind of an amazing moment to see it. I was actually super proud, because it was nice to see the way DC dominated Vulcan, especially that I was there live. It was just like a really it was a really exciting moment seeing that, and I saw Stipe's title fight with Ngannou too. So those were two fights that were good fights to watch. But yeah, that's kind of how that situation was, where you had, like you said, then you would know who the real champ is, and you kind of would have a DC versus Vulcan kind of situation where two guys that kind of both indirectly lost to the other guy are fighting for the belt. So that was kind of like, had that feel to it. The last two guys to lose are going to fight each other for the belt. What, you know, what interest does that really have?
I mean, if you're not viewed as the real champ, then really what's the purpose of having a belt? I mean, of course you had a, you have the look of the champ because you had a belt, but real fans know. Real fans know that you're not the champ and that you want a belt because of circumstances. So I saw all that today, and I was just laughing. And I was like, I think I replied to something when Santos put it out. I was like, well, you know, you and Reyes are the last two guys to lose the job. So I said, if anybody has a has an argument to fight for the belt, it's actually Blachowicz. But really, he lost to Santos. So who do you really have out there? What are you going to have, Blachowicz versus Anthony Smith and then Santos versus Reyes and then those two winners fight it out for to see who's the champ? If you do it that way, I have no problem with it. Instead of just awarding somebody the belt because of where they ranked at and all that, have a tournament for the belt.
That would actually be very interesting. That would be very, very interesting concept that you just, that, wow. I would actually really like to see that now.
I think that'll be the real way to go, because that way, you know who should be fighting for the belt because it was proven in the octagon. I don't care if you put all four of them in a room and they draw straws for their opponent, or you just use the ranking system and say the number two guy fights the number five guy, the number three guy fights the number four guy. I don't care. But as long as you have it proved out in the octagon, then I could get behind it.
Yeah, you know, I really like the Kovic and Anthony Smith fight that you were just had kind of mentioned there. It's just an example, but I really wouldn't mind seeing that one. I think Blachowicz is kind of like in, he's kind of like in the, he's kind of in like a, in his own kind of, you know, bracket where there's just kind of like nothing going on. He doesn't have anybody really right there to fight. I think he's kind of looking like the number one contender the last fight we saw him in, because he actually knocked out Corey Anderson. And I forget if we even talked about that fight on the show. For some reason, I want to say we didn't talk about it. But
oh yeah, we talked about it because we were both shocked at the outcome, because we didn't see it ending that way. Because I think both of us picked Corey Anderson to win.
Yeah, I think we both had Anderson with our predictions.
Yeah, because it was kind of crazy. Because I think I even said that Corey might come in here with too much pressure on him, knowing that if he wins, he's going to be the next contender for the belt. And that could play against him, and lo and behold, I think it did.
And now, how would you feel about this? What if the UFC would have, let's say Jones, let's assume, we don't know anything yet, but let's say Jones did get suspended, Dana White decides to you know, vacate the light heavyweight belt, and then instead of having Santos and Reyes, you would actually have Blachowicz, whoever, you put Blachowicz there, and he could fight either one of those guys, or Blachowicz is fighting somebody, basically, and they would have that one for the vacant belt. Like, say you would have Blachowicz versus Reyes, because you already saw him versus Santos, so. Or you could do a rematch. I don't know if that would make that better, or if it would still feel like, I mean, because Blachowicz, at least we saw him with like two or three really impressive performances now in a row. So it's like Blachowicz has to be in. You can't just have the two guys who both just lost fight for the title. I mean, Blachowicz is already kind of the number one contender. And if you were the number one contender and you lost, you wouldn't get president over, you know, somebody who actually is coming off a big win. So both those guys lost. So having them both fight with the belt kind of doesn't too much sense, I guess. Blachowicz would probably have to fight somebody.
I think that's why you would have to go with Blachowicz versus Reyes. I think you would have to go with Blachowicz over Reyes, because who wants to see a rematch for the interim belt? I would rather see the rematch if Blachowicz was the win. I would rather see him fight Santos if he was to beat Reyes. That way it adds more hype to the fight. You know, a lot of us thought Blachowicz was, I know I did, I thought Blachowicz was fighting a real good fight against Santos until he did something uncharacteristic at the time, which was his game plan was to stay slow, technical, and concise. But when he got knocked out, he was going fast, rushing, and wild. And that led to him getting knocked out. Now, would I want to see him fight Santos again? Yes. But I'd rather see them two fight with something on the line as far as the belt.
And sometimes I wonder if that was that moment, you know, the knockout, I wonder if that was like a miscommunication with his corner too, because it did seem like, it almost seems like when Blachowicz went out there in that round, I want to say it was in the third round, and Santos caught him with the shot that finished the fight. The way Blachowicz kind of changed his speed all of a sudden was very, very strange to me at the time, because in my opinion, he was up on the cards and it wasn't necessarily close. I feel like Blachowicz was probably up a comfortable amount on the cards. I wouldn't say it was a blowout, but I mean, I would say he was winning comfortably if the fight was going to go to a decision, which I feel like it was on its way there. I mean, I didn't think Blachowicz was going to finish the fight, but I figured he'd be on his way to a decision. And it just seemed like when he came out in that round, when he got stopped, it seemed like a guy, the way he came out, his behavior was so different than before. It seemed like a guy that was just convinced by somebody else that he was losing the fight. I wonder if that was some kind of miscommunication, literally, and led to him getting knocked out, because the way he was treating it like it wasn't a 5-round fight and he just went all in the third round seemed very random, because considering how comfortable I think he was winning on the scorecards already. So I wouldn't – they just say, sit back and keep doing what you're doing. It just seemed very strange.
Actually, I'm going to go back and rewatch that fight and see whether or not his corner did say anything to him. As far as, you know, why he changed up, because he was fighting a good fight, and I don't see why his corner would tell him to change, because he was actually dominating that fight, to be honest. He kept Santos backing up. His counter striking was pretty good. Although he didn't have octagon control, he was controlling the tempo of the fight. But I'm going to go back and rewatch that fight and see whether or not I can pick up something, whether or not his corner, you know, gave him, you know, maybe some bad coaching, or maybe he just did something, or he wanted to try something different coming out in that round. Because to me, when I was watching it, it just seemed like he wanted to change up the pace of the fight, and that ended up hurting him. Why would you want to change up the pace of the fight when everybody knows that Thiago Santos wants to fight at a fast pace, and that plays into his wheelhouse?
Yeah, it was, you know, and that kind of just takes it back around and says how, you know, you mentioned before how each of these guys are kind of beating each other, so it's kind of like a, no matter what fight you have, it's like every guy has lost to each other. So the MMA math of it, you know, one might say the MMA math of it is kind of strange. If you were to not have Jones in the division, let's say for a period of time, the matchups that you would have seems like they're all rematches. When, I mean, in reality, a lot of the guys have fought already. So a lot of them would be rematches, but it just seems like either rematches or with guys who both lost. It kind of leaves the division in a weird place. There's really not, especially with Johnny Walker lost again too. Like, you really don't have, I don't know, any really like excited contenders. It seems like everybody's just been losing. So the division doesn't seem really too hot. I mean, the only guy that in light heavyweight that I feel like is the winning, that's kind of on the come up is Jim Crute. Jim Crute is like a very, almost like a dark horse in the light heavyweight division. He's kind of just, I feel like people don't even know he's at 205. he just like out getting these, like putting on impressive performances. So I feel like he'll be up there with some of these guys in not too long from now.
But I like what he's doing. He's not one of these guys that after every fight he's clamoring for a title shot. He's a guy that's going about his business, fighting his way up, letting his in octagon work speaks for itself. And I like when fighters do that. I like when fighters fight their way up and they're not clamoring for a title shot when they done beat the number 25 ranked guy in the division. You know, one of those guys is one of my favorite fighters right now, Corey Sandhagen. You never hear Sandhagen after any fight say, you know, I want to, hey, the strap is coming home. You know, I should be next in line for a title shot. You know, he goes out there, do what he got to do, and he let the chips fall where they land.
And
I like the way.
And you know what? Yes, finish what you're saying. I'm going to hold that thought. Finish what you're saying.
And I appreciate that. I mean, let your fighting, let your constant progression get you where you need to go. Not after every fight you clamoring for a title shot after you done beat a guy you're supposed to beat.
Yeah, well, I think that I think Jim Crew will probably have to get more wins anyways. I don't think he's quite in. I don't know if he's – I'm not sure if Jim Crew is like a, maybe like a number 15 guy or if he's not ranked, but he's probably like one of the guys on the cusp of getting into the ranked top 15. So I want to say he's won a couple fights, but he's just one of those light heavyweights I don't really hear anything about, but he keeps putting on good performances and he gets big wins. You know, in the fights he's been putting on, so I feel like in the not too distant future, Jim Crew will probably be a bit more of a notable name in light heavyweight division. But it's interesting that you brought up Sandhagen too. No, and it's interesting you brought up Sandhagen too because did you see? Okay, so basically, our boy Aljamain Sterling wanted to fight Cejudo, but Cejudo's fighting Jose Aldo now. So I'm sure that UFC probably offered Aljamain Sterling another fight in place of that because they knew he thought he was already in the bank for the Cejudo fight. I think a lot of them thought he was. I mean, I wanted to see that fight, him and Cejudo, so I definitely thought it was. I thought you thought it was. Well, I think many of us did. Aljamain Sterling's been putting on good performance. He's on a good win streak himself. But did you see that they're trying to get It's your boy Sterling and Corey Sandhagen. They're trying to get that fight together. Did you hear about that?
I saw where Aljamain had called him out. He called out anybody in the top five for a fight, and he actually did mention Corey Sandhagen. So, you know, man, I'm all for it. Being that the UFC basically has screwed Aljamain out of his title shot, and which is sad because he did everything he was supposed to do as a champ, was to go out and win his fights. And, you know, but I wouldn't mind saying Sterling versus Sandhagen. I think that would be an interesting matchup. I think they're trying to make Moraes versus Jan, or?
Yeah, I heard about that, too.
Yeah, I think they're trying to make Moraes versus you. So, but, you know, I wouldn't mind saying Sandhagen versus Aljamain. You know, Sandhagen has been doing this thing as far as fighting guys, keeping his head down, going up the charts. So, hey, I wouldn't mind saying it.
Can you imagine if I'm still wondering what's going to happen with Uriah Faber. Because you just brought up Jan, and then I was thinking last time we saw a fight, I'm pretty sure he finished Uriah Faber. That was his last fight. And that makes me wonder, what if Aldo would have lose? What if he would have gone there and lose to Henry Cejudo, and then he's kind of just still in the mix because, you know, they want him to try to win a second belt. I think that the UFC would want Aldo to win a second belt because he was already the 145 champ, so you can kind of that's kind of like a marketing, a point of marketing right there, a concept, you know, that they kind of they could market.
I think they save a favor for Dillashaw. I think when Dillashaw comes back, his first fight will be against Uriah Faber. I think that's the matchup the UFC is probably targeting, because Dillashaw, his suspension should be coming to an end here shortly, because it's been about 2 years. So I think it'll probably be TJ Dillashaw versus Uriah Faber when the next time we'll see Faber in the octagon.
Did Dillashaw get 2 years? Is he eligible to come back next year?
I want to say it's 2021.
And do you think he'll come back, like, on time, or you think the UFC is already in touch with him now?
I think he'll come back on time. I think I wouldn't be surprised if his suspension ended maybe a month or two early. You know, they'll probably make him pay a heftier fine if they suspend 2 months off his suspension. But I think I think the UFC will probably see where he's at far as physically, what he looked like, and probably give him a little bit of time to possibly get into shape. But I think that's the fight we'll probably get next year, is TJ Dillashaw versus Uriah Faber at Dillashaw's return to the octagon.
I feel like that would be a very marketable fight for the UFC, if I had to say. I mean, they had
There's a backstory to it, because of course TJ beat up Garbrandt twice, and then he left Uriah's team to join a new team. And basically, I think him and Uriah has bad blood ever since TJ left him.
And it's crazy too, because I was, you know, I saw somebody post something on Twitter earlier today, and it was like four fighters who like haven't fought in a while. And they said, which one, if you could have one of these like return to the octagon, like which one would it be? And they had like, you know, four guys in there, but the most one that I, Dominic Cruz was one of the four. I selected Cruz, and then it made me think, wow, I wonder if Cruz, first of all, if we could see Cruz making a comeback in later this year or 2021, could you possibly have Dillashaw fight Cruz in both of their comebacks? Because they'd both be making they both would be coming off a hiatus from the octagon. So I think that could be a lot. And people want to see that rematch as well, because that was a very, very controversial fight when Dillashaw and Cruz fought.
Yeah, because I thought Dillashaw won that fight, to be honest. I didn't think Cruz was as sharp as the announcers were saying. I didn't think that he was as dominant as the announced team was saying during the fight. I thought Dillashaw was actually the aggressor. I thought Dominique did a lot of dancing and moving around, and he really didn't. I mean, he did some good stuff coming off of, you know, such a long layoff. But I didn't think he did enough to win the fight.
So do you think that some hype could be behind that if Cruz were to make a comeback around the same time? If you were to make a comeback to fight Dillashaw, knowing they were returning around the same time?
I think if they were to do a fight like that for Dominique Cruz, I think it would probably be better off to have Cruz fight Garbrandt. Because that was a fight that Cody dominated Dominique so bad and made Dominique look so bad. And the way he was clowning Dominique inside the octagon, I think the UFC will more be apt to make that rematch than Dominique versus TJ Dillashaw.
I have my mic muted. I think that one too could have a lot of hype behind it. It's pretty crazy because it's like those three guys right there, or those three or four guys, all in the same division, and all kind of away from the octagon right now. None of them are necessarily active, but if any four of those guys come back at any given time, any of those four could fight, whether it be a rematch or their first time. A lot of them would be rematches, but any one of those four guys could come back and fight right now, and I feel like it would be a big fight in the bantamweight division and probably have title, probably have some kind of title talk attached to it. And B, it would be a highly marketable fight for the UFC. Any one of those four guys, you know, Faber, Dillashaw, Cruz, and Garbrandt, any four of those guys, because, you know, Garbrandt just fell out of his fight. He was supposed to be fighting, who was he supposed to be fighting? I think he was fighting Sun Tzu. I think Garbrandt was supposed to be fighting Sun Tzu. That was also one of the fights that fell through, around the time Ngannou Rosenstruck. I don't know which that was supposed to happen first, but now it was another fight that kind of got scrapped and maybe could come back on that big card that we were talking about. Any four of those guys can fight, and it would be of interest right now to the UFC, in my opinion. All of them are kind of like anticipated to come back, fan favorite kind of fighters in a way. So I wouldn't mind seeing Garbrandt Cruz again. I wouldn't mind seeing it.
Yeah, I think if you was to put Garbrandt, Dominique, and Uriah TJ on the same card, I think that would be definitely must watch because of the past stories and, you know, the blood loss. You know, they don't really like each other, so I think it'll be a hell of a card, but. You know, we covered a lot tonight, man. We definitely went over in time, but that's okay. You know, when we get to talking and, you know, especially about UFC, you know, sometimes we do that. Tonight, you know, we talked about a possible UFC supercard. We talked about John Jones' recent arrest. You know, we talked about other UFC news and rumors. Me and my man Keith's Friday night special. You know, we like doing these Friday night shows. Some strange reason, it seems to bring out the best of us. Not saying that the Wednesday night shows don't bring out the best of us, but definitely seem like the Friday night shows are definitely where we at.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I maybe it's the end of the work week, you know. Gonna do something on the weekend, even though, you know, right now everybody's supposed to have their butts home, you know, taking care of themselves. So, what last words you got tonight, bro?
I do want to say the Friday shows definitely have a different feel every time. It always has a kind of a good mood that is just like it's packaged in with it. It just seems like it's just like the shows run very smoothly. It's just a great mood, and it could very well be like, you know, related to what you were saying with, you know, it being the end of the work week and things like that. I mean, not right now because a lot of people are working from home and things like that, so it doesn't have the same feel. But, you know, when society is running, you know, in its usual fashion, which it's not now, you know, that kind of thing usually takes effect. So, you know, my last words is pretty much everybody just stay safe, stay healthy. I try to follow the precautions, try to, if you're going to, like, you know, go out and try to keep a level head, you feel free to, you know, go out, take walks and things like that. It's good for you. I think getting cooped up in the house can be, you know, not the best for you too. But also, if you're going to go out, be safe and try to keep your distance from people and just kind of follow along with, you know, the necessary precautions that need to be taken. And I think we can move forward and start to make some progress. Just people need to, you know, start to follow some of the guidelines that are being put in place for us, you know. I think we can be a bit better off.
Yeah, man, just to piggyback on what my man Key said, you know, this is the time that, you know, we need to be adhering to the rules. The rules are out there to help all of us. It's not to hinder your lifestyle. It's not to make your life any more difficult than what it is. It's to look out for the greater good. Like I said at the beginning of the show, yes, I am becoming I have some cabin fever. Although I'm really not a guy that goes out a lot, you know, I'm pretty much a homebody. But at the same time, is I understand why I'm in the house, why they're asking us to stay in the house. My state, Colorado, which I live in right now, is one of the states that's been on lockdown. And, you know, we jumped from, Colorado jumped from 33 cases one weekend to up to 1,000 cases in less than a month. So, you know, that just goes to show you that this thing is serious. Stay home, practice social distancing, take care of yourself. During this time that you're in the house, reconnect with your family. Have game night, you know. Do little things to pass the time by. Because basically, this is a time to definitely be looking out for yourself. With that being said, Lee and Keys signing out, episode 134, I think. Let me make sure.
It was 133. It's 133.
Yeah, 133, I'm sorry. Signing out for the night. Live, love, laugh. Live your life to the fullest. I know even though right now it's kind of hard. Tell somebody you love them. And have one good laugh every day, man. It's good for the soul. Lee and Keys signing out.